like we said, we're going to start Parshat Tzolo'ot today. We're going to get our feet wet. Not go too far, but at least let's start getting into the Parsha. Parshat Tzolo'ot. Okay. Let's start even before going into the content of the Parsha itself. How does the Parsha actually open up? Where does that word Tzolo'ot come from? Eila Tzolo'ot, good. Keep going. Good. Eila Tzolo'ot Yitzchak. If it opens up with Eila Tzolo'ot Yitzchak, what is the clear contrast that's being made in terms of the narrative of Chumash as a whole by starting with Eila Tzolo'ot Yitzchak?
Shouldn't it say Avraham?
Mm-hmm. Do we have an Eila Tzolo'ot Avraham?
Well, I don't get the question.
Might have a less used Parsha. In the last Parsha we did in Chayei
Sarah. Well, I'm not understanding the question.
Looking at Chumash as a whole, remembering that we're always looking at the narrative, we're looking at the Parshiot.
Oh, this is a paradigm for something, maybe.
Thanks.
Never mind.
Appreciate that. Good. What was the last parshia? Not parasha, parshia. The last paragraph. How does it start?
Eila
Tzolo'ot Yishmael. Remember that we're always talking about here the story of what's happening over the course of Sefer Bereishit as a whole. And although we divide it by Parsha, and each Parsha, Chayisara, Tzolo'ot, has its own identity, its own themes. We spent a lot of time last week talking about Chayisara and what unites Chayisara. But there still is the continuation of what's happening by each paragraph within Chumash. So there's what becomes, if you don't break it up in your mind by Parshat Chayisara and Parshat Tzolo'ot, it's still one continuous narrative. There's no break with a header inside of a Sefer Torah. There seems to be here either a comparison or a contrast between Eila Tzolo'ot Yishmael and Eila Tzolo'ot Yitzchak. What is the content of the paragraph of Eila Tzolo'ot Yishmael? Take a look. So all in front of you, nothing said.
All of his children.
All of his children. He gives us a list of his descendants. And when does the story of, or the para, where does the content of Eila Tzolo'ot Yishmael end? When does the content of Eila Tzolo'ot Yishmael end? How many pesukim later? Around? Six or so? Seven? Right?
Yeah.
Meaning, it just gives us a list of his descendants, and then we close the story on Eila Tzolo'ot Yishmael. Then we have Eila Tzolo'ot Yitzchak bin Avraham, Avraham Elit Yitzchak. When does the conclusion of the story of Eila Tzolo'ot Yishmael, Eila Tzolo'ot Yitzchak, where does that take us from and to? Where does the story end?
It doesn't stop, it keeps going.
Keeps going to where?
Till us.
Good.
Till he dies.
On a narrative level, where does it go till?
Till he dies.
Till he dies. Which is where? Is that happening at the end of the next paragraph?
No.
Two paragraphs?
No.
Full parsha? Multiple parashot.
So he doesn't tell us how he dies until like later.
Till much later.
Like even though like he's like later in the parasha he's giving the bracha, it's not he doesn't die in this parasha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does he die?
Yes. Okay, it goes all the way until the end of Perek Lamed Hey in Parshat Vayishlach. Vayihi Me Yitzchak מאת שנה ושמונים שנה ויגבר יצחק וימת ויסיף על עמיו זקין ושבע ימים ויפרו אותו עשיו ויעקב בניו. That Isaac's Yitzchak's days expired and he died, and he was gathered to his people, old and filled of days, and his sons Esav and Yaakov buried him. Many, many, many chapters, or more importantly, many psukim, many parashot later. So here, Ela Toldot Yishmael is very specifically a list of his descendants. Ela Toldot Yitzchak is something totally different, which implies that the word Toladot has different layers of meaning. What are the possible layers of meaning of what toladot are? Just to English, translations, words that come to mind. Yeah?
Generations. Just one, I always think like...
Generations.
I would also think birth, maybe, and a lot, something
like that. Well, so one's generations or one's progeny come when one gives birth to somebody. Yes, there's definitely related to the word leida, but generations, I think, definitely encompasses that.
Products.
Good. Products.
Offspring.
Offspring is going to be here also. Yeah.
Legacy.
Fantastic. Legacy.
What are we listing?
Possible layers of meaning in the word toldot. Toldot definitely has a meaning of generations or offspring, and that's indicated by Ela Toldot Yishmael. We're listing very specifically his descendants. And that's one of the most common ways that we use the word toladot. But toladot has to have other layers of meaning because we start Ela Toldot Yitzchak, and there's a whole story there. A story which, as you pointed out, talks about what he produces in this world, the legacy that he leaves in this world. It's what a person leaves behind could be a larger heading for all of these things. Toladot are what a person leaves behind. And there's another example from that I heard somebody say, and then they didn't own it. I want them to own it. Where else did we already see the word toladot being a prominent word in a parsha?
No.
Thank you. Who is that? Well done. Yes.
My brother Jeremy's a parsha.
So we have also the concept of Ela. That's all of these. My bad. Ela toldot. Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya b'dor tov, et Elokim hitelech Noach. Hear the pasuk, very beginning of Parshat Noach. Ela toldot Noach, these are the generations of Noach. What do we want to see listed next? Shem, Ham, and Yafet. Comes a pasuk later. It starts off, Ela toldot Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya b'dor tov, et Elokim hitelech Noach. Those are very descriptive quality traits of who Noach is, not necessarily of the descendants that he leaves behind. Already indicating there that the concept of toladot is much more multifaceted than we often give it credit for. That toladot, then it goes, meaning in Parshat Noach, it then goes on to say, I think Vayolad Noach Shosha Banim is the next pasuk. Vayolad Noach Shosha Banim et Shem et Ham et Yafet. He also, Vayolad, right, like you pointed out before, that Toladot is connected to the word Vayolad, right? Leolid. Vayolad Noach Shosha Banim et Shem et Ham et Yafet. That happens, that's next. But there are these dual layers of both generations and offspring, but there's something deeper that's also happening in terms of what Toladot are and what they're accomplishing. It's what we leave in this world. We can leave simply our physical offspring, or we can make an impact on this world. We can leave something even greater or more eternal in this world or beyond in terms of what we produce, the legacy that we leave, what we leave behind on a much more global scale of tzaddik tamim, of the stories of Yitzchak, which are, to go back to Rebecca, your word, which become paradigms or foundations for who we become as a people in terms of... the Ramban, who says, Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, that we're setting the stage for all of history in terms of what the Avot are doing throughout the entirety of Sefer Bereishit. Bracha.
If that's the case, though, if that's what Toldot can be referring to, then why describe Noach and not describe his contributions to the world? Why describe him rather than what he left behind, even if it's not his children per se? Why not describe how he impacted things? Is that making sense or not really?
I understand you're asking in terms of why these would fall into the category of Eilat Toldot Noach.
That's describing him in the present at that time, not meaning afterwards. Why? How are the
valid question
still there?
Valid
well,
question.
Maybe that he taught people about righteousness and.
Because when I say that, like it says, Abraham asa nefesh
haran. That's a nefesh asher asa b'charan.
Yeah.
Tzarekian, good question. Good question. Yetzibi.
So Yishmael left absolutely nothing worth mentioning about him.
He left physical descendants.
Right.
He's, by the way...
Even I would expect even to see, like, even maybe a negative something, right? Like, it says nothing.
His contributions to the stage of history as set up in Bereshit end there with whatever happened in his story up until that point, and then his physical descendants. That's the end of his story. Whatever we've learned about Ishmael, that's going to define for us Ishmael. And there's not just Ishmael who that's going to happen by. Who else would we suspect might follow this paradigm? Exactly. Take a look at the beginning of Perek Lamed Vav. Just like we have the death of Abraham followed by the death of Ishmael, we have the death of Yitzchak followed by the death of... The death of Abraham and the death of Ishmael are paired together. We have the death of Yitzchak paired with the death of Esav. And how does that paragraph begin at the beginning of Perek Lamed Vav? Eilat Toldot Esav. Same thing. And what happens after we see the words Eilat Toldot Esav?
And then it starts talking about who the people were.
It again talks about descendants.
Well...
It does.
No. I'm just saying.
Eilat Toldot Esav. What happens after we list all of the Eilat Toldot Esav, which again lists very specifically descendants? What comes after that?
Eilat Toldot Yaakov in Vayeshev.
We begin Parshat Vayeshev, which is Eilat Toldot Yaakov. Yosef, right?
Yosef.
Good. Eilat Toldot Yaakov.
Doesn't say any trait.
It talks about Yosef, and we'll get to that when we get there in terms of why specifically it singles out Yosef as the first word of Eilat Toldot Yaakov. Where does that story take us to? Eilat Toldot Yaakov.
The brothers.
And where does the story of the brothers conclude?
Galut.
Where in Chumash does that story conclude? At the end of Bereshit, meaning Eilat Toldot Yaakov then takes us from there to the end of Bereshit. So this structure of how Chumash is set up in Bereshit is actually very much inherent to the structure of Bereshit itself. We meet Abraham. Abraham has children. There's a chosen one of the children, just like we selected out Abraham from the 20 generations. The pearl was found in the sand. We removed certain elements from him. We ended up with Yitzchak. We then have to develop Yitzchak, perhaps remove some elements from him as well, conclude his story. We get the descendants of Esav who are listed, and then we move on to Yaakov, and we get Yaakov's story. Yaakov, we'll see, doesn't have anything that's necessarily removed from him. He's able to produce the Shvatim. But this becomes the structure, or part of the structure, of how Sefer Bereshit functions in and of itself.
Just mentioned it, but I'm a little bit confused. So after every, like, Eilat Toldot, whatever, Yaakov, Esav, Ishmael, it's either it begins their life story or it ends their life story. Is that how, like, one would see it generally? Do you get what I'm saying?
If we're going to talk about their legacy, it doesn't necessarily begin their life story. We've already heard a lot about Yitzchak.
And then it says that?
But it says, meaning Eilat Toldot Yitzchak is going to be the beginning of Parshat Toldot, and we've been talking about Yitzchak, and we've mentioned him in Parshat Lech Lecha. We talked about him extensively in Vayera. We've been talking about him in Chayesara.
Okay, so it's not, but he doesn't die, like, I'm not sure, like, Yitzchak doesn't die in this Parsha, right?
And then Yitzchak, that's the point, Yitzchak's story travels for a few Parshas going forward, because his legacy is much more complicated than that. His legacy is more than simply the descendants that he leaves behind. Same thing. Then at the wrap-up of Yitzchak's life, we're going to see Yitzchak pass away. We're going to see Esav as well die. And same thing, Eilat Toldot Esav, we're going to see a list of descendants, period. And then Eilat Toldot Yaakov, then we also have to see the grander scheme of his legacy, which is much more complicated than simply the descendants that he leaves behind.
So, I get what you're saying, but I'm still confused. Sorry. basically, they're just... Okay, never mind. It's okay.
No, no.
I don't know how to explain it. Like,
you want
to
take one more try?
Come back to it.
Okay. Marissa.
I had a similar question. Is it possible that when it says school vote, it's introducing their legacy, not necessarily the structure of what they did in their life? Like, she's saying that by Toldo by Ishmael, it's just introducing his descendants, but there was a lot discussed about Ishmael already. But there was also a lot discussed about So, the word Toldo, it isn't necessarily to introduce a story, just to introduce some... Toldo is a word that highlights, like, this is what they left... But they already left some stuff behind that was...
They've already accomplished certain things, but it's going to indicate the nature of the legacy that they will leave. It's not to indicate the introduction of their story as a story. That would be Eilat Leidat Yitzchak, meaning Kilu, that would be from the beginning of Yitzchak's birth. But what's the legacy that he leaves behind? Where does that go? What are we going to start to struggle with immediately from Eilat Todot Yitzchak? What's the beginning of this of Parsha Toldot?
With Esav.
Yaakov and Esav. Who gets the bracha? Who gets the bechora? Where does that continuation lie? What is the legacy? What is the continuation? How does that go? That's what we're struggling with. We're struggling with the issue of legacy. We're struggling with what they're leaving behind. So we do have content of Yitzchak beforehand, and now we're shifting into the nature of that legacy. When we move into Eilat Zedot Yaakov, we're talking about his children also. The Shvatim may have been born previously, but now we really start to focus on, although Yaakov is still a major player in this story, or a player in the story as we go forward, we're focusing very much on Yosef, on Yehuda, on the Shvatim. We kind of shift the spotlight away from there and talk about what is leaving behind and to whom and how. In a way that's grander than simply the people that are left behind. The number of people or the nature of who they are. We know that we're told that there are 10 Nisi'im by 12 Nisi'im by Ishmael. We're told that there are certain generals that are left behind by Esav. But in terms of content, there's no more to that legacy in a Torah level beyond the descendants themselves. The legacy doesn't span in terms of that rich content that's going to be the continuation of the Jewish people.
So is it like a summary slash conclusion of their life? So, and then that legacy, then they bring, like, that includes the legacy to that point, if that makes sense?
It's not a summary of their life. We're not summarizing Yitzchak's life at that point.
Okay.
It's a transition from the story of the person to a movement into what they are going to leave behind.
Okay, that works.
Is that better? Is that better phrased?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah,
so I don't know. Maybe like I'm reading into it too much, but I also find it interesting how, like, the legacies of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are more intertwined than the religion, than with like Ishmael and Esav. Like with Ishmael, it says, like, Ishmael ben Abraham, and with Yitzchak, it's Yitzchak ben Abraham, Abraham hood Yitzchak. Like, it shows, like, that there's a Masorah there, and then also, like, it's farther along with when Yaakov...
Eilat Yaakov Yosef.
Yeah, that, like, it's also, like, the order of switch, that there's, like, a short, like, life story of Yaakov before Yitzchak dies. So it's, like, interesting how, like... Because you, like...
I suspect...
I'm reading too much.
And I'm thinking out loud, and I don't think... No, you're meaning critically analyzing the text and assuming that there's layers of meaning, there is always the right thing to assume. It's just a matter of teasing it out. Thinking out loud, I think that fits very well into things that we've previously established. We talked extensively in Parshat Vayera about how... Avraham, part of what Avraham's journey was throughout Parshat Vayera, which is why it took time until Yitzchak was born, was him learning that in terms of the development of Chumash, which is going to also include the development of the Midot that we've been talking about, that he had to understand that the Midot could not exist in a vacuum. They need to be interlinked with one another, because if you have an extreme of any Midah that exists on its own, what do you end up with?
A distortion
of that Midah. So it would make sense then that there would be an interlinking of those stories in a way where none of those individuals are going to be fully detached. You're not going to have a solid conclusion in that way without it intertwining in the next phase. I think that actually beautifully fits into what we talked about extensively in Vayera in terms of how those midot must exist within a system and interact with each other. How the avot need to interact with each other and remain in a system, not in a way where it stops, descendants done. I think that very much fits, and I think that's a great point. Yeah.
Did Avram also have the Eilat Hodo written in his name?
Avram had a concluding paragraph right before the death of Yishmael. It lists the B'nai Keturah. It doesn't have an official the Eilat Toldot.
How come he doesn't? Doesn't he have like a most important legacy?
Does the Eilat Mishnei Chayai?
I mean, it's the Eilat Toldot. I don't know. Yitzchak Avraham Yitzchak. I have to think about that. Also, your question.
Also, with the whole whatever's mentioned, like you know how if one word is mentioned first, it's like the all in
juxtaposition. Sorry.
Maybe. So if Yishmael is mentioned like with the Toldot first, does that like mean something? Like
no, because we talked about how those needed to be divided in order to keep Yishmael with Avraham as the conclusion of Chesed. Uh-huh. In the same way, we're going to need Yitzchak and Esav to be the
Yitzchak
conclusion
is number
of
one.
Deen, which we'll get to over time.
Got it, okay.
Yeah.
I was just
going to
say, I think it's interesting that we're talking about, like, the first time we're talking about legacies with Yitzchak, because out of all the Avot, like, he's the one who, like, seemingly doesn't do that much in comparison to the others.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, it's just interesting that like here we're talking about like Yitzchak's legacy when it's seemingly, I don't want to say like it's less, but like it seems like he did less than the other problem. Because like there's just like less about him in the Torah and like...
It's a complicated statement. I don't want to untangle it right now. He has a different role to play, which relates to his midah of Yira or Gvura or Din. We do get stories about him, but they're definitely more muted. In the same way that Gvura itself... we defined as
staying within your boundaries,
more reserved, more internal. So there's what to unpack there. We'll see if we'll touch on some of it when we go through Toldot, but his story is different in nature as he is different in nature, but his story is there. Okay. Good. So the idea of legacy going forward, we also define what the content of that legacy is. And a lot of that legacy is probably going to be contained in a very, very important word, which is central to Toldot. To do that, before we end, just to set the stage for Monday, what are the major, really major, think broad strokes, the major components of Parshat Toldot? What do we have?
Sibling rivalry.
We have Yaakov and Esav, and what are they arguing over?
The birthright.
Then we have...
blessing.
Trickery.
No, meaning that's its own story, that's its own phase, right? That's its own paragraph. Mm-hmm. What's the next large chunk, yeah. Sherry? What's the next large chunk?
Oh.
Right, we get Yitzchak's story. So Yitzchak definitely gets downplayed because the action in Toldot is really revolving around Yaakov and Esav. But then we stop for it. Don't we have to wait? We have Yitzchak's story, which is doubly interesting because Yitzchak's story is also very much things we've seen before. We have what we can call... we have the story with Avimelech, which we've talked about extensively at the end of Parshat Vayera, which we can even call Avimelech 3, if you will. It's almost... it's the same way Avimelech 2 was the same as Avimelech 1 by Avraham. Avimelech 3 is the same as Avimelech 1 and 2, just with Yitzchak. Going down...
saying the same person?
No. Avimelech is the same person, but the stories are almost identical.
Oh.
Of the previous stories we've seen with Avimelech. And we also have the digging of the wells, which you've also seen, and we talked about as well. So we have Yaakov and Esav and the purchase of the birthright, Yitzchak's story, and then what's the last piece?
Yaakov.
What?
Yaakov
gets the Bechorah. Yaakov has to steal the Bechorah. The Bechorah, the Bracha. Interesting, we have two similar words that we're not sure. How do they relate to each other? The Bechorah and the Bracha. We'll definitely have to come back to that. But here, I think, Emily, this is more where we see that sibling rivalry, if you will. Here we see more of the conflict between Yaakov and Esav. Here is the beginning of that story with the purchase of the birthright. And we meet Yaakov and Esav. Then we really have kind of the fight over the bracha, the bechorah, which is happening again. This is kind of Yaakov and Esav part two, if you will. So, putting this in parentheses for a moment, because again, we've talked about a lot of these issues about what Avimelech is and what his function is. The stories are very much the same. The wells, the idea of going back. Yitzchak needed to be part of Be'er Sheva. We just even mentioned it before. Including himself in the paradigm of the Midot and recognizing that he needs to have a place within Be'er Sheva, within the place of seven, and draw out what he needs to add in order to the seven Midot. All of those things still, in this, as the same way they were with Avraham, being repeated and being included here. We really have this Yaakov and Esav story in parts 1 and 3, and this issue with the Bracha and the Bechora. Two very similar words, two things which they're fighting over, and two things which perhaps are very linked to what possibly that we were talking about the entire time. The legacy. Who gets it? Where does it go? We'll have to talk about it more also, but how does the story of the Jewish people begin? Who's the first Jew?
Avraham.
How does Avraham's story start? Take a look in your Chumashim, beginning of Parsha Lech Lecha. Good, what does it say after that? Read the next few psukim, somebody out loud. What?
Leaving home.
So we know leaving home, because again, that's what we like to talk about in Shabbos Table Divrei Torah. But keep going another few psukim. Somebody want to read out loud? Beginning of Lech Lecha? Just a few psukim.
Which part?
The Eslecha was going Adol, the Evlecha, the Agad, the Ashlecha, and the
Bibbos. Keep going. Say it nice and loud.
Okay.
For everybody, Hannah.
The Evlecha, Mivrechecha, Mikolecha, Aor, Venivrechiu, Becha, Kol, Mishpacho, Hazama.
Anybody noticing a common theme word over there?
Bracha.
Bracha is something which is inherent in Avraham, him being the carrier of Bracha from the very beginning. So bracha, whatever that may mean, we'll have to talk about that next time. Bracha, whatever it is, you'll enjoy that year, Monday. Whatever that may be, whatever its relationship to bechora, which shares the same letters, bracha and bechora, and in terms of how that legacy works, who it gets passed down to, who ends by simply having descendants, and who continues to carry that bracha or bechora, those are going to be a lot of the issues which we're going to have to start to tease out in this argument between Yaakov and Esav over the bracha and the bechora. And in terms of how that legacy plays in and travels all the way through Chumash and culminates, we can give it away. Where is the bracha going to culminate all the way down within? It ends past Sefer Bereishit. Who becomes the ultimate carrier of bracha? Good. We have some very. In Chumash. Who becomes the bearer of bracha to the Jewish people?
Moshe.
Aharon.
Exactly. Right? Comes all the way through until we get to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, with Yaakov's children to Shevet Levi, and within Shevet Levi to the Kohanim, who are going to be the ones who are carrying bracha to this day, back to Tzipi and Eliora, yes. But kind of where does that bracha go and how does it get there? We will take all of that forward and add some content to it instead of just a framework on Monday.
Thank you.